ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओ
कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 19 टेक्स्ट नंबर 7, 8 एंड 9। सो हियर नाइन्थ वर्स इज रिडन, सो आई विल जस्ट रीड द 7th एंड 8th द वर्स इन द ट्रांसलेशंस। टेक्स्ट नंबर 7 इज अ प्रोज। ओम नमो भगवते महापुरुषाय महानुभावाय महाविभूतिपतये सह महाविभूतिभिर् बलिम् उपहारम् इति अनेन अहर् अमन्त्रेण विष्णोरावाहानर्घ्य अपप्रसन् अनौपवासम् इति विभूषणम् गन्धपुष्पधूपदीप दीप अपहार उद्यपाचारण। ट्रांसलेशन। ओ लॉर्ड विष्णु फुल इन सिक्स ऑपुलेंसेस, माय लॉर्ड विष्णु फुल इन सिक्स ऑपुलेंसेस, यू आर द बेस्ट ऑफ ऑल एंजॉयर्स एंड द मोस्ट पावरफुल। ओ हस्बैंड ऑफ मदर लक्ष्मी, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are accompanied by many associates, such as Vishvakshena. I offer all the paraphernalia for worshipping you. One should chant this mantra every day with great attention while worshipping Lord Vishnu with all paraphernalia, such as water for washing his feet, hands, and mouth, and water for his bath. One must offer him various presentations for his worship, such as garments, a sacred thread, ornaments, scents, flowers, incense, and lamps. This mantra is very important. Anyone engaged in deity worship should chant this mantra as quoted above, beginning with Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya. Text 8. हविशेष जुहुयाद अनले द्वादश आहुति। ओम नमो भगवते महापुरुषाय महाविभूति पतये स्वाहेति। सुखदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड। आफ्टर वर्शिपिंग द लॉर्ड विथ ऑल द पैराफेर्नेलिया मेंशन्ड अबव, वन शुड चैंट द फॉलोइंग मंत्र व्हाइल ऑफरिंग 12 ओब्लेशंस ऑफ घी ऑन द सेक्रेड फायर। ओम नमो भगवते महापुरुषाय महाविभूति पतये स्वाहा। टेक्स्ट 9 विल ऑल रीड टुगेदर। श्रियं विष्णु च वरदाओ आशीषं प्रभवावुभौ भक्त्या संपूजये नित्यं यदिच्छेत् सर्वसंपदः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. If one desires all opulences, his duty is to daily worship Lord Vishnu with his wife Lakshmi. With great devotion, one should worship him according to the above mentioned process. Lord Vishnu and the goddess of fortune are immensely powerful combination. They are the bestowers of all benedictions and the sources of all good fortune. Therefore, the duty of everyone is to worship Lakshmi Narayan. Purport. Lakshmi Narayan, Lord Vishnu and Mother Lakshmi, are always situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Ruddeshe Arjuna Tishthati. However, because non-devotees do not realize that Lord Vishnu stays with his eternal consort Lakshmi within the hearts of all living entities, they are not endowed with the opulence of Lord Vishnu. Unscrupulous men sometimes address a poor man as Daridra Narayan or poor Narayan. This is most unscientific. Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi are always situated in everyone's heart, but this does not mean that everyone is Narayan. especially not those in poverty. This is the most abominable term to use in connection with Narayan. Narayan never becomes poor, and therefore he can never be called Daridra Narayan. Narayan is certainly situated in everyone's heart, but he is neither poor nor rich. Only unscrupulous persons who do not know the opulence of Narayan try to afflict him with poverty. Hare Krishna. So here Sukadeva Goswami is telling in this chapter entitled The Pumsavan Ritualistic Ceremony. And in that he is telling that even if someone wants to become opulent materially, he should take the worship of Lakshmi and Narayan. And Prabhupada uses the sentence over here that, just 1 minute, the combination of Lakshmi and Narayan is very powerful. So here we see, although the desires are materialistic, the chapter is also entitled the Pumsavan Ritualistic Ceremony, but still here we are suggested to worship Lakshmi Narayan for material benefit. It is said here, if someone desires material opulences, his duty is to daily worship Lord Vishnu with his wife Lakshmi. So we understand, as this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam goes, Akamava Sarva Kamava Moksha Kama Udhardi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param, that whether we are free of desires or full of desires, or whether we desire liberation to get out of this material world, better we worship Lord, Supreme Lord, because Supreme Lord is Suruhudam Sarva Bhutanam Natva Mam Shanti Mruchati. The Supreme Lord Shri Krishna or Vishnu or Narayan is the well-wisher friend of every living entity. So therefore, even if we worship him with material desires, he might fulfill our desires, but on the way of fulfilling the desires and our worshipping him, what happens is we get purified and we advance in spiritual life. Therefore, even for material desires, it's better to worship the Lord rather than worshipping somebody independently, some god. Srila Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita, Purport, that why do people take to the worship of demigods? If they know Narayan is the Supreme Person, he explains in Purport that generally when the people have some wrong material desires, it's not wrong to have some house or some food or better food and clothing. But when something more wrong than that is there, desire which is little not right for us, then they worship the demigod. Because they know Lord Vishnu is loving father and he will not fulfill such wrong desires. For example, in our day-to-day life, all of us were children at one time going to school or college. And suppose we required, when we grow a little elder, as we grow, we require some more geometry instruments or compass box or an ink pen or something. Our father very happily supplies all of it. And we don't feel shy or we don't hesitate to ask father for all these things. But we have experienced in our childhood also, many times we had some wrong desires. And we will think twice whether I should ask it to father, or whether he will give me, or whether he will chastise me. And if we are sure that our desire is so wrong that our father is not going to fulfill, then certainly our mind would try to go some other way. I will try to tell the grandfather or something. So in that way, this is material world. When the conditioned souls have some wrong desires which are not according to their qualifications or for not their duty, they worship demigods. Lord Krishna, he will never fulfill wrong desires. And even when he fulfills, he will purify your heart. Therefore, in this verse, it is like we see here Diti, who had some type of wrong desire to kill Indra, to have a son to kill Indra. But her husband, Kashyap Muni, very nicely instructed her to become a Vaishnavi. And in the last chapter, we saw, seeing the tendency in this material world, the tendency is generally negative. So Kashyap Muni instructed his wife, not in a positive way, become a devotee of Lord, offer everything to Lord, remain clean, never eat during some time, do eat at right times. See, when something is instructed in a positive way, our ego gets little hurt. We feel that we are being ordered. But Kashyap Muni, I will just find out where it is, but he very intelligently, Prabhupada, also it is in the translation also, he very intelligently instructed his wife in a negative way. So he was telling, never be unclean. Never eat at wrong times. So rather than telling, be always clean. Kashyap Muni said everywhere in, never go out in the streets without washing your mouth after eating. So if you are telling, wash your mouth after eating, it's little different. So Kashyap Muni too was very intelligent, and he gave all these negative instructions to his wife. But in essence, he was actually trying her to tell that you become devotee of Lord. Actually, if we see Bhagavad Dharma or the Vedic Dharma, the instructions are very clear. Very simple. Gita tells 2-3 verses and everything is very clear. Actually, in the essence of Bhagavad Gita, as we know all these words, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. This is the final instructions. And how to do that? Krishna is telling in the next verse, Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mam Evashi Satyam Te Prati Jani Priyosi Me. The instructions are as simple and as clear as that just surrender to me. And how to surrender? Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto. Or what to do? Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Yatantasya Dhudavata Kathayantasya Mam Nityam Tushyanti Cha Ramanti Cha. Always chant my glories. Very simple and clear instructions are there for all people to follow. But people don't want it. They want some complex things. Some big show that I am doing something big. So therefore, all these other... And in fact, to make these things complex, they speculate their own ways. To make some big puja somewhere on the ground and call some... And just to make a show that we spend crore of rupees on this puja. But Krishna's instructions are very simple. If we can take these 2-3 verses, Satatam Kirtayantoshto Mam, Mam Anusmara Yuddhacha, Man Manabha Mad Bhakto. Lord Krishna is asking only for that. Always chant my holy name. Always remember me. Always discuss Krishna Katha. This doesn't require any material facility or no man can say, I cannot do this thing. No man can say that I cannot follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. But the hearts are complex. And they want something very complex. They think religion means very complex has to be there. Very big, something, very big thing happening. Gita is very simple. Just sit and chant Hare Krishna. If you have some more time, read about Krishna. If you have some more liking, speak about Krishna. And if you want some more thing, then offer something to Krishna and accept it as prasadam. Nothing more is required. No more some complex arrangements is required. You can sit anywhere. So anywhere you can sit. There is lot many places to sit down. Speaking about Krishna doesn't require any preparation. You can speak. You have heard so many stories. If you can't speak, chant Krishna. That doesn't require any preparation. So many people like to sing. Just sing. And if you get some food, offer it to Krishna and honor it as prasadam. Very simple. But they think perfect religion is so simple. No, I can't accept it. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says to go back to Godhead is very easy. And to go to hell, we require a lot of effort. Suppose we have to do some intoxication or illicit sex or gambling. We have to be fearful of police, get some money by wrong way, work hard to earn the money, cheat people, search for some gambling den or prostitute house or intoxicating place, something. Then go there, pay so much amount, get diseased, pay for the sickness. It's so difficult to go to hell. And so easy to become pure devotee. Krishna's instruction is very easy. Just surrender to me, chant my holy names, be happy, sit anywhere. But to go to hell, it requires so much effort. But still people think that is, oh yeah, this is some real religion. If you make some very complex thing, that is religion. So here what it is mentioned is even if someone has some material desires, yes, This is not pure bhakti. Anya bilashita shunyam, jnana karmadi anavritam, anukulena krishnanu shilnam bhakti ruttamam. This is best bhakti. But even this is better. Okay, because while performing devotional service with material desires, one will for sure reach spiritual devotional service without material desires. And that is Krishna's. Krishna says, I do that. He says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ami vidne e murkha, vishaya magiya, swa chanamuddiya, vishaya bhulaiya. I'll give him my nectar of my devotional service and make him forget the materialistic desires. So therefore, we see here, but here Srila Prabhupada also raises another point. Shruti Smuti Puranadi Pancharate Vidhim Vina Aikanteki Harir Bhakti Utpateve Kalpate. This bhakti or spiritual life without the guidance of Shruti Smuti and the spiritual master, what it does is creates utpat, disturbance. So here we see Prabhupada is criticizing this use of word called Daridra Narayan. In this material world, although it appears that we have to just surrender to Krishna, that is the most difficult thing. A man can very easily make big, huge arrangements for some worship or puja. But to surrender to Krishna is very difficult. As Srila Prabhupada says, Radha Maharaj once quoted, that to climb on the mountain of Everest is easy. But to climb on the mountain of false ego and ahankar is quite difficult. It's much hundreds of times more difficult than climbing on the mountain of Everest. Srila Prabhupada also makes that point in Bhagavad Gita Purport. He said that people accuse that bhakti is very easy. Prabhupada said, so-called bhakti is very easy. But when they take up to the sadhana bhakti as enunciated by great acharyas and spiritual master, then these people fall away from easy bhakti. So yes, bhakti is very easy, but it requires great effort. As Srila Prabhupada said, chanting is a very easy process, but one has to practice it seriously. Similarly, people accuse bhakti is very easy. But then we say, okay, you take it up, do sadhana bhakti, regulated lifestyle, then they follow. Similarly, therefore, we see in this world, we can find hundreds and thousands of misconceptions except surrender to Krishna. Daridra Narayan, this Narayan, that Narayan, Yatomat, Tatopat, whatever you want, whatever you do, you do nothing, you do everything. If we don't surrender to Krishna except his opinion, then whatever his opinion, that is right. We don't have to do any, whatever his opinion, that is right. That is the most important thing. If we want to go back to Godhead, we have to give up our own opinions. I don't know anything. Oh Krishna, I surrender to you. As Arjuna said, I am confused. So I surrender to you. Please instruct me. Sadhi mam tvam parpannam. If we already have many opinions with us and go to Krishna, then we will not be able to understand Bhagavad Gita. So here we see with this concept of Daridra Narayan. And Prabhupada is saying this term is most unscientific. Because Narayan means husband of goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji. And how can he be poor? Lakshmiji is the proprietor of all the wealth of all the worlds. And she owns the Federal Bank, the Reserve Bank, the Union Bank, the whatever gold where it is stored. She owns everything. Not only planet Earth. She owns the whole universe, the wealth of all universe. And her husband is Narayan. How can he be poor anytime? So basically, this everything is coming from one point, not to surrender to Krishna. So okay, I will serve the poor. Anything else will be done except surrender to Krishna. Serve dog, serve poor, serve nation, serve country, serve district. Anything can be done except surrender to Krishna, because that is the most difficult thing. So all these terms and concepts come about from this idea of not surrendering to Krishna. But we have to show that we are religious. Okay, then I worship the Daridra Narayan. Actually, this utpat has been created all over the world. In fact, all this utpat has some motives behind it. And the main motive is not to surrender to Krishna. Similarly, there is this puja which is very famous in India. That is also some speculated thing, concocted thing. I remember in that puja, in the end it is said that if you hear and if you also do this puja, you will get this and that and this. And if you neglect this prasad and this puja, then you will go here and go there and go there. We are having a printing press business, my father had, and I was also helping him when I was at home. We used to get one pamphlet to print many times. To be explained a little more detail, it was very long years back, so that time there was not offset or DTPs. It was letterhead press. You had to arrange each one letter, one after another, and make a block of it. So we are getting this order of this pamphlet so often that we made a permanent block for that. What was that pamphlet? It was stating that some Baba has appeared somewhere and he is giving this and he is giving that. And in the end it is, so anyone who reads this pamphlet, and one person who reads this pamphlet should print 1,000 more and distribute it to the world. One who did like this, he got this and his son passed in the everything. And one who neglected the pamphlet and threw away in the dustbin, he got this disease, his father died, everything. So I thought this is not Shiv Baba. This is some printing press wale ka dhanda. He only printed such pamphlet and distributed once. Because he knows once it is distributed, he'll keep on getting the orders. So that way this material world is there. So that we keep on getting the repeated orders. So therefore so much utpat is happening all the world because of these materialistic desires. Again, this philosophy is not applied in any part of our day-to-day life. Except in spiritual life. Nothing works, nothing we did like that. Anything, even sports or traveling or studying or eating food or dressing. Nowhere we follow this philosophy. However you do, you release the same goal. Whatever you do with your clothes, you will appear nicely dressed. I don't think it happens like that. However you cook, it will come out first class. Nothing, nowhere in our life we follow this philosophy. However you study, you will get 90%. No one will accept this philosophy. Except in spiritual path. Whatever business you do, however you do, however checks you give and accept, you will become millionaire. Nowhere. But people very plainly accept it in spiritual life just because they don't want to surrender to Krishna. That is the main cause. We don't want to surrender to Krishna. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam shanam vraja. This is the most difficult thing. Anything else is very easy. So these all misconceptions, they come out. Or people worship demigods to fulfill their materialistic desires. Today I would like to narrate one story from Krishna book. We might have heard it many times. But as we just said, Krishna consciousness is very easy just to sit and hear about Krishna. This story is a typical example of a demigod worshipper and how his intelligence gets spoiled. I am going to tell the story of a Samantak Mani, King Satrajit. This King Satrajit was actually a sub-king under Ugrasen Maharaj of Dwarka. But he was a devotee of Suryadev and he used to worship him. And he was so close devotee that slowly he became like friends with Sun God. And Sun God being pleased gave Satrajit a money called Samantak Mani. That money was very powerful. It was bright, brilliant. Whoever would wear the money, he would appear as a sun god. So brilliant it was. Wherever the money was, there was no disease, no pestilence, no famine, nothing. And the final thing was, wherever the money was kept, that money would produce 80 kgs of gold daily. 80 kgs, not grams, because gold is generally spoken in grams, so you might think it's not grams, 80 kgs of gold daily. So when Satrajit got this Samantak money, certainly he became attached and became a little proud. So he wore that money around his neck and came to Dwarka to show off. I become so bright, so opulent. So when he entered Dwarka, the Dwarkavasis, they mistook him that his son god, because he was so bright. Actually, they knew Satrajit. But because he was so effulgent, they thought that sun god himself has come. And they went to tell Lord Krishna. For them, it was not an astonishing thing. Because many times, many personalities would keep coming. many great people, demigods, Brahmaji, Indra, Surya, Chandra would often come. So they thought, okay, no, sun god has come to meet Krishna. So still they went and informed, oh, Krishna, sun god has come. Krishna knows everything. And therefore, he did not give it much attention. And then he told, oh, he is not sun god. He is not Suryadev, Vivaswan. He is Satrajit, who has come here just to show himself off. Satrajit, logically and morally, should have offered that money to Ugrasen Maharaj because he was a superior king. And in fact, Krishna told him that you don't keep this money with yourself. Ugrasen being a higher king, you should offer it to him. But as we say, material things makes us attached. And sometimes when Krishna wants, that's why anything, we don't require any material opulences to be attached. First of all, you are all attached to our own body. Then you are all attached to extensions of body, family, wealth, everything. So when Lord Shri Krishna takes this away, it's little difficult. Like Srila Prabhupada also, in his life, he first could not, he had to give up his business, then family. But at one point, Prabhupada was sitting and smiling and remembering this verse. Yasya aham anugrahnami harisheta dhanam shanai. So similarly, Satrajit became attached. I don't want to give it up to Ugrasen or Krishna. He kept it with himself. Krishna knew it's not good, but he allowed it. Then, one day, the brother of Satrajit, Prashen, he took that money, wore it around his neck, and went to the forest outside Dwarka on a horse. But when the lion saw that money and Prashen, he killed the Prashen, then he killed the horse also, and the lion took the money. But after some time, Jambavan, the great devotee of Lord Ram, he was also staying there nearby. And when he saw that bright, beautiful money with this lion, he killed him and took the money. But because he was a devotee of Lord, he did not give much importance to the money. Like Satrajit, he in fact made a temple of Samantak money. Srila Prabhupada comments, this is how in the material world, people start worshipping some material things because they give some results rather than worshipping Krishna. So this Satrajit made a temple of Samantak money. He established that money on an altar and was worshipping him. So when Prashen did not come back, okay, this Jambavan took the money. And because he was devotee, he was not attached. He did not make it a temple to worship the money. He gave that money to his small child to play. Okay, you play this in his cave. But here, Satrajit, he started defaming, criticizing Krishna. Hey, Krishna, because he knew that Krishna has expressed that this money should be given to Ugrasen Maharaj. So he started criticizing and defaming and spreading rumors that Krishna has killed my brother and taken the money. And Lord Krishna did not like it. So to set the matters right, he said, okay, all the leaders of Dwarka city, come with me, I'll prove the truth. And they went to the forest. First they found Prashen's dead body being killed by a lion. Then they found dead horse. Then they went ahead, they found, so they understood that lion killed both of them and took the money. Then they went ahead, found a dead lion. So they said, somebody else has killed him and taken the money. So then Lord Krishna knows everything. So he went to the cave of Jambavan. It was a very deep and dark entrance. So Krishna told the Dwarkavasis, you don't come in because they might become fearful. I'll go in and get the money which has been stolen by Jambavan. Not stolen, taken by Jambavan, and he's keeping it in. So Lord Krishna went in that deep tunnel and inside he saw a big place. And there near the entrance itself, Jambavan's son, small son, was playing with the money and the nurse was attending to the son. When Lord Krishna went and he stood in there in front of the boy as if asking for the jewel, Samantak jewel, the nurse, seeing some foreigner or some outsider, started shouting. And Jambavan immediately became angry and came to see and fight with a person who has come to take the jewel. Actually, this is Krishna's arrangement. When Krishna wants, see, Lord Krishna is full of emotions and feelings and willings. He also wants sometimes to enjoy fighting. You may say, why Lord Krishna wants to enjoy fighting? It's just like when somebody is very powerful, he likes to fight. Like if we have strong body, we like to use it. Like somebody has good brain. Suppose we have very qualified people here. And I said, no, I'm going to give you a very big test for all of you. Here we have got graduates, doctors, engineers, more than that, postgraduate. No, it's a very important test. All of you come prepared. And the question paper is 5 plus 9, 8 plus 6, 5 into 4. You say, what is this? This is not for me. Give something, give some questions which are challenging to my brain. Then I like to solve it. Similarly, on the physical level, Lord Krishna is most powerful. And we see those who are poor, they'll just do something. So he wants to fight. That's very natural. And therefore, when he wants to fight, he engages his devotees with, he bewilders them so that they fight with him, and he takes pleasure. Similarly, Lord Krishna bewildered Jambavan, made him a little angry. And Jambavan came and started fighting with Lord Krishna. The fight went on for 28 days and nights, non-stop. Both were so powerful. After 28 days, Jambavan once felt a little tired. Bone joints little bit paining, muscles exhausted. They fought for 28 days and nights, non-stop. But then he understood, no one else in this material world except the Supreme Lord can defeat me. So Prabhupada explains that why could Jambavan not understand initially and could understand afterwards? Because while fighting, Jambavan rendered service to Lord Shri Krishna of giving him pleasure of fight. So only after serving Krishna, he could understand that he is the Supreme Lord. Now this is very important. And we see this element of service, including even in that verse of Bhagavad Gita, Tad Vidhi Pranipatena, Pariprashina Sevaya. We can understand Krishna by these three things. By Pranipat, surrender, by Pariprashina, inquiry, and by service, Sevaya. So when Jambavan rendered service to Krishna, then only Krishna allowed him to understand that he is Supreme Lord. And now, after 28 days, he stops fight and he surrenders to Krishna. He said, please forgive me, I could not recognize you and I fought with you. And then, as usual, he starts glorifying Lord Krishna. Prayer. He did not make a very big prayer, so very short ones. But the meaning are very big. Meanings are very big. He said, Lord Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are creator of creators. Like Brahmaji says, you are controller of controllers. Ishvara Parama Krishna. So Jambavan is saying, oh Lord Krishna, you are creator of creators. And when I was reading this story last Sunday, the Sunday which went last, in that day as I was traveling, one paper was lying over there. And the headline was, some US scientist creates the first living gene or something. Generally, they claim like that. Very. When I went into details, it was not any big discovery. Just they have made some chemicals which can be put into the living cell and the cell accepts it. Just like they put some steel rod in our body, a little on a more finer level. They have made some proteins which can be put into some cell and the cell accepts it. So I thought, oh, this is not made some living cell. They have just made some chemicals which can be put into a living cell. As Prabhupada says, they can make a life. They can move anything, manipulate. But make a life. Anyway, even if they make a life in the future, nothing so great. Because Jambavan, Prabhupada analyzes this example of creator of creators. He said, in the material world, people get bewildered or overwhelmed by or enamored by some scientist doing some tiny discoveries, throwing a rocket into sky, or making some wireless communication, or something. The people get enamored, oh, scientists did this. They can put some wall into our heart. But Prabhupada says, who created the fine brain of the scientist? The scientist's brain is working so nicely, which is inventing and discovering so many things. But who made that brain, fertile brain of scientists? Therefore, Prabhupada says, give Nobel Prize to Lord Krishna. If you want to give Nobel Prize, all Nobel Prize should be given to Krishna. Scientists did not do anything to make his brain very fertile. He received it as a gift from Supreme Lord. And he just used it and made some discovery. And he said, I found out this in 1982. And I did this in 1972. In 1991. But Krishna made you in 1950. So Prabhupada says, give Nobel Prize to Lord Krishna. So therefore, Jambavan is telling, you are creator of creators, oh my lord. All secondary creators, they will do something. Secondary creators are from Brahmaji to this tiny scientist. They will make some nuclear bomb, some nuclear fish, anything they do. But who made them? Let them even make a life tomorrow. We don't care. Who made you? Who made your fertile brain? You did not do. So we give Nobel Prize to that person. That is Lord Shri Krishna. So Jambavan is praying to the Lord in this way. That, oh Lord, you are creator of creators. So I read both the... In fact, I read this Krishna book first and then I saw the newspaper. So I was very happy. Prabhupada explains this in Krishna book. That people get bewildered by this some scientific discoveries. But here Krishna is telling... Jambavan is giving the right vision. And then suddenly Jambavan surrenders and... He gives the money back and Krishna comes out, but no one is there outside the cave because the Dwarkavasis stayed outside the cave for 12 days and they thought some undesirable thing has happened. And then they go back. So they go back to the city, but when Krishna comes out, he comes with Samantak money, not only money, but with also the daughter of Jambavan, Jambavati. Now, Jambavan offers her also in marriage to Lord Shri Krishna. So when Krishna enters the Dwarka city with Jambavati and the jewel, all become very happy and joyful. And Ugrasen Maharaj assembles all the court again. And he calls even Satrajit. So Krishna comes, he shows that, oh, this is the money. It was not taken by me as it was defamed by some people. So I give this money back to Satrajit. Satrajit actually felt very ashamed to take the money back because he knew that actually the money should not be kept with me, it should be given to Krishna or Ugrasen Maharaj. And I did not do that previously. And in fact, I did not do what I defamed Krishna. And now Krishna has said the things right and he's offering again the money to me. So as a little being a cultured man, he felt a little ashamed. So in this way, this story goes on. But here you can see that how these misconceptions are there. Actually, I plan to tell another story, but I will not because it's quite some time. But I will tell the misconception. Another misconception is, many Prabhupada says, in this Kali Yuga, it's very rampant. It is also available during Krishna's time of this Pondrak, who was calling himself to be God. And that is also a very wonderful story in Krishna book or Srimad Bhagavatam. This Pondrak, he was a king of Kurush, some province. And he was thinking that he has become, he is Vishnu, he is Vasudev. Actually, we see in modern age, many people claim themselves to be incarnations of God. And I was discussing this yesterday, or day before yesterday. And so we are just discussing how to understand that this person is like, okay, how to tell what are the main differences. We sitting here can say this person is an ordinary human, neither have you seen or neither have we seen personally. But one great difference is there. Between all these so-called incarnations and actual incarnation. Because if we are here, we have neither seen Krishna when he was here 5,000 years back, we have neither seen some so-called incarnations also. We can tell on the basis of scriptures. What is the one big difference, at least which is true up till now? All the incarnations are Krishna from day one of their birth. But all these bogus incarnations, they become only when they are adult. They are never incarnations in their childhood days. Or when they fail in all professions, they become take up the profession of becoming God. And it is a big paying profession to become God. And then they also retire timely. They don't, see this incarnate, so this is one big difference. Krishna did not become Krishna when he attained 20 years of age. Or neither was Lord Ram a Lord. He was Lord since day one. Lord Krishna was Krishna since day one. He did not realize that I am Krishna only after he became adult. But all these so-called incarnations, they become Lord only when they become adult. Even if they are mystic yogis, they don't become Krishna from the day one of their birth. Krishna was Krishna. He was the Supreme Lord from the day one. So people, they pretend. And this Pondrak, he was also pretending. Maybe we'll take up this story some other time, but a very wonderful story. But Krishna directly calls Pondrak that you are fool and rascal. And Prabhupada is saying indirectly, he's calling everyone who calls himself God, Krishna is telling, you are also a fool and rascal. And Krishna personally went and killed his Pondrak. So this way this story goes. Maybe in detail we'll take some another time. But we have to be very careful not to get bewildered by all these other philosophies. A spiritual life is very simple. Just sit somewhere, chant, speak, or hear about Krishna and have some prasadam. It doesn't require any other facility. And this doesn't require any facility. Chanting, speaking, hearing, and prasadam doesn't require any facility. Nothing is required. Just sit. If you have some better place like this, we can use it. Or when we go on yatras, we sit anywhere. So anywhere we sit, hear, chant, that is the only thing. And Krishna says, such a person, satatam kirtanitomam, who does this thing, anannas chintanitomam, edana pariupasate, who always thinks about me, he is for sure going back to Godhead. There is no other doubt about it. Hare Krishna. So we have some few minutes, if any comments some devotees wants to give. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shila Prabhupada ki.